Noche tu cocina.
Ahorre, no compre sin visitar Emporio.
These are the facts as we know them. There is an epidemic of mass murder being committed by a virtual army of unidentified assassins.
It's your cyber cigarette, your internet nicotine, your verbal vape, and your online crack pipe. It's time for your podcast fix with Justin and Nickelbag Rick. It's Pod Vomit.
It is Pod Vomit.
It is.
We're vaping it up in the Pod Vomit studios. Wow. Burst of energy.
Whoa,
right there.
I know. It's like all of a sudden it got louder there.
It's like, hey, pick up the pace. You're on the show now. Start fucking talking.
I didn't know that. I thought you were just in my house, and I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, well, sometimes I just like to show up unannounced.
You know? It's like I'm trying to have lunch, and what are you doing in my house?
I've got my robe on.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner robe.
Vaping. In the verbal vape. Well, the reason I keep talking about the verbal vape, hey, it's Pod Vomit, and I'm Nickelbag Rick, and this is the anti-host.
Can you really verbalize with a vape in your mouth?
This is Nickelbag Rick.
This is Justin, the anti-host, without a vape in his mouth.
And our intern, step up.
Hey there.
It's Tina.
So what do you call people that just constantly vape all the time? I'd call them vapists.
Vapist? That's what I'm going to call them.
Vapists.
I'm calling them vapists from now on.
Yeah.
Well, here recently, I was doing a wedding. I was performing the wedding as a dudist.
As a dudist.
And it was my first wedding to perform. And when we was at the rehearsal, the best man was one of these vapists. And me and my girlfriend walk out. Now, I do vape on occasion, which is like every day. But what I'm vaping.
That's vape-tastic.
Yeah, it's not your typical. I'm vaping some Smokey and the Bandit stuff from Colorado. I have some. Today, I'm vaping some AK-47.
He smuggled beer.
You know. Yeah, but this
are
is
you, the 20, are you vaping beer?
I'm the 21st century Band.
You put Budweiser in your vaporizer. Yeah. That's insane.
So, you know, I like to partake in my vape pen with my cannabis
flavored beer.
It's not cannabis flavored. It is cannabis, but
cannabis in your beer.
Cannabis oils. So, me and my girlfriend, we dip out to the car to go hit our vape, and we're kind of cool about it. You know, we're not really advertising that we're smoking on our cannabis vape.
So you dip out into the car?
Yeah, and so she was smoking a cigarette. We're just kind of hitting it. And as the best man and his wife,
You still have to go hide off in a car somewhere, though. You can't just bust it out in public.
Oh, I normally do if I'm eating or in theaters and stuff like that. But this was just, I was the rev at the wedding. So I was just trying to show a little kind of class.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And I know I'm not normally used to doing so. So
I can't imagine you making it through like a 2-hour period without getting high.
Well, I was getting high. Don't worry. I was just being very stealthy about it. So I'm Nickelbag Rick. I'm always high. It's like when somebody goes, "You want to smoke a joint? Just assume I do." You know?
Don't ask.
Right. Just light it up.
Hand it over.
So
the
best man comes out, and he's a vapist, and he's hitting this like vape box, and he's like exhaling this like cloud. It looks like, you know, Kiss is fixing to come out behind him and play. And and he sees us vaping, and he goes, "Hey, so you guys are vapers?" And I was like,
vapist. He says vapers.
Yeah. And I was like, excuse me, we're vapist.
Excuse me. It's like Trekkies versus Trekkers.
Right.
Yeah.
So he goes, "What do y'all vape?" And my girlfriend goes, "Well, it just depends on what we're vaping here, I suppose." So we told
Budweiser.
We told him what we were smoking on, and he goes, "Yeah, we're going to Vape Fest." And I was like, "What the fuck is that?" He goes, "Oh, it's like this big concert. It's outdoors, and everybody's vaping, and this like techno music." And I was like, "You know, I don't understand when it became a lifestyle to
That's like Tomorrow World, I guess, right?
Yeah, except for with vapist.
Okay, so it's Tomorrow World plus vapes.
Right.
Including. Do they have vapist wit?
I guess. I don't know. I just know this. This guy, here was the thing that just really kind of, I was like, whatever, dude. He was, during the rehearsal, he's still vaping. you know, and he's taking these hits off this.
It's I wouldn't like, do it out in public.
Oh, but he know. Is like it's like a rolling fog out of his head, just you know, and it's like.
Well, when he's talking about vaping, though, he's talking about putting like the oils and stuff that you get from the vape shops. Not the cannabis stuff that you partake in.
That's true. But so, that's my whole thing. It's like it's
so yeah, he's of course he's out doing it in public. I mean
I'll do it in public, but it's like I'm still not letting a fog bank roll.
I know,
out of
but
my
I
face.
Just think at this point the audience is probably thoroughly confused. I just wanted to specify that he's partaking in the legal tobacco
yes,
vape stuff.
The legal vaping.
Yes.
You know, right. Oh, well,
and you got the wacky tobacco vapey.
Right. The illegal vapey, you know. But I don't think nobody would know mine was any different than
no,
the other.
Probably not.
But
especially at a vape fest.
Right. I'd be the only stoned one rocking around going, man, I can tolerate this.
They'd be like, hey, man, what's the percentage of alcohol in your fluid? I mean, not alcohol,
I'm vaping
tobacco.
Bud Light 6.0 Platinum. Ooh, cool.
I'm telling you, the beer companies are going to get into this market.
Right.
They are.
The vaping.
Yep.
And also, I wanted to say that, you know, we're in our studio keeps ever expanding. And, you know, when you guys come into the studio today, y'all are noticing that it's got a little bit of a different look, you know. So I told Justin, you got to bring your
there's like drawings of dicks all over the wall.
Yeah. And with vapes. In the dick holes. And so was vape smoke coming out the dicks.
I thought that was just piss mist.
Piss mist. Merry piss mist.
Piss mist.
That's another show coming this December. Krampus was good. Wait till piss mist.
Yeah. It's just basically how urine just evaporates and gets in the air.
But Justin has his wine, not a glass, it's a cup.
Yeah.
It's a blue cup with
it's my blue chalice.
And it says Mazel Tov.
Bitches. Yeah.
And he's going to bring it's his new studio cup.
It's the glass of the Hebrew hammer.
Yeah. I say that's what he should drink his Hebrew out of. But today he's drinking wine because he's got a bit of a sick stomach. But he's still powering through.
Rick
with
is
wine.
Just tickled that there's a beer called Hebrew. He loves that. He loves that shit.
I just don't want to spend the money on it, though.
I don't know. Is it expensive?
I
never
have no idea. I would buy it if I saw it.
I never. I've seen like the logos, but I've never.
Yeah.
Seen it at
Hebrew.
A store.
What do you think it would taste like?
I just think it would taste, you know, a lot like dead Palestinians.
Greed.
Greed. Oh wow.
I don't know.
Greed mixed with dead Palestinian.
Right. Hmm. Well, it looks like we're coming up on our barf bag time.
Perhaps we are.
Yeah, I'm getting the finger. It says
you're getting the middle finger.
In today's show, we're talking about.
Meltdown.
We are here.
Mail.
What? I'll tell you,
Rick. I really appreciate you not talking during the mail time.
I'll tell you what the show's
come
about
on now.
After the mail.
It's like just think of like when the mail time thing comes on. You're in the public library.
I like how Tina is like really grasping for the mic, trying to get
she's
in.
Like,
it's like
give
I want
it
to talk.
Me.
I want to. It's my turn.
I'm sort of a mic.
So
guy.
It's the barf bag with Tina, the intern. Tina, tell us what kind of mail we have in the barf bag today, please.
So from Jeremy Stinson, we have Nickelback Rick. I believe the name you were looking for is Keith Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
You never can remember his name. He is the white-haired man on Dateline. That you do a funny impression of, but always forget his name. Keith Morrison.
I like how he put Keith Morrison really big. Keith Morrison!
Yeah.
All in, like, is it all in caps?
Yeah.
Hammer it in.
Well,
like
you are right, Jeremy. I do always have a hard time remembering this guy's name, but his name is Keith Morrison. I'm Keith Morrison from
Dateline. He always says it on every show.
I know, and I watch this all the time.
I didn't know what it was either.
But the funny thing is
I don't watch it.
When I'm at home watching Investigation, Dateline, or whatever it is he's on, I go, yeah, it's Keith Morrison. But as soon as you put a microphone in front of me and we talk about him, I never remember his name, so... Keith Morrison.
Jim Morrison. I mean, Keith Richards. I mean.
And what I'll do, Jeremy, I'll keep your email in the studio. So every time I go to my Keith Morrison impression, I'll have your email here to remember his name. Thanks for the reminder, sir.
Yeah.
So we have another mail from Joel Greenway.
Keith Morrison.
The MILF show was the best. West Side's number one pick on his top 10 was unexpected and hilarious. Great addition to Pod Vomit. I love your show.
And Joel. Funny thing is, you're absolutely right. That was a great show, Joel. And Westside's not even here today.
Well, I was going to say, even funnier than that is he's playing golf with Helen Mirren right now.
Right.
So. They're out doing the back nine, if you catch my drift.
She's cleaning his balls.
Yeah, they're taking they're making, you know, good use of the ball cleaner that they put on the field.
That was a great show, I agree. And right now Westside is in London. And yeah, he was going to call us, and I did talk to him a little earlier, but he was like, "I'll call in if you want me to." And I was like, "Enjoy your vacation, sir."
Yeah.
You are a huge soccer
I didn't really
fan.
Want to pay
your
his phone.
Holiday.
You're on holiday.
I didn't really want to pay his phone bill.
So, we didn't want it to come back to the studio. We already have enough trouble here as it is. We don't need phone bills from London.
God, no.
You know. Well, you know what we should have did, though, if we would have had him on, like, Skyping or talking to us or whatever? If we'd have had one of his friends on, I kind of thought this would have been a funny thing. Every time we talk to him, he just keep going, "Good day, mate." And they're like, "That's Australian." And it's like, it's all the same.
Bloody, remember?
Bloody Yanks.
Before we discussed, Australia is just England's toilet.
That's right. All right. That was the barf bag. Is that all, Tina?
So we got.
Do we have Twitter twatter?
Yes, we do.
Let's hear it.
Twitter
twatter.
All right. What is it?
So we have the Jerry Sessions, Passersby Podcast, the All Seeing Guys, Big Question Podcast, No One Likes the Tuna, and the Podcastle. Also, Michael Parks, Margaret Cho, and Ted Levine.
Yeah, Margaret Cho, obviously, she's a comedian. You know who she is. She follows Pod Vomit. That's very cool. Ted Levine, if you don't know who he is, all three of these people, I was like really surprised at, wow, they're following our show. That's awesome on Twitter. Ted Levine is in Silence of the Lambs. He's the guy that goes, "Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me." You know, he's Buffalo Bill.
He's Tuckback guy.
Tuckback. And
fruit basket.
And he also is the voice in Joyride, Candy Cane.
Because they never show the guy, do
he
they?
He didn't even want to be credited for the in
really?
That movie. Yeah.
But they never showed the trucker's face,
no,
right?
No, that was the whole mystery of it. And then he
wasn't it just the sequel to Duel?
You know, I've always
the
said
the spiritual
that
sequel.
Duel 2.0.
It definitely inspired it.
I agree. And then he was also Stottlemyre on the show Monk, which I also
It's Man with two N's.
M-A-N-N. That's two N's. David Mann. Man versus Machine.
Right.
So
that's a little more dual humor.
Yes.
By the way.
And Michael Parks is in Red State. He's in Tusk, Kill Bill, and he follows us also. And here's the cool thing about Michael Parks is when he followed us, I hit follow back. And he had to approve our follow back, so he approved the pod.
Does that make you a follow back girl?
Well, I ain't no follow back girl, so actually, I think that's really cool, man.
But you are. You are a follow back girl.
But we have now even more. We're getting closer and closer to closing the gap on Kevin Smith.
We're getting all the C-list celebrities, so getting there.
People that were in his movie, maybe that's what I'm going to try to do is start trying to get all of Kevin Smith's.
That's how they're finding us.
Yes. Our stars in his movie to follow us on Twitter or Facebook. So we're moving on up like the Jeffersons. So that's pretty fucking cool. I was very happy to see that.
It's like trying to get the girl you like by going after all her girlfriends first.
Right. That's exactly what it's like.
I'm narrowing down all the bitches until I get the bitch I want.
So that's our Twitter twatter. Thank you, Tina. And today we're going to talk about... And this comes from our intern, Tina. She brought
Thank
this
you.
To us.
Thank you.
She said she wanted to do a show on the best and the worst of the 80s.
And we've let her give all the suggestions and do all the talking. It's all on you.
Goodbye.
All right. See you later. See you, Rick.
We'll
catch a beer. Let's get a beer down the street. Let us know when you're done. Put all the equipment away.
It's kind of funny is that, you know, since our crew has expanded a little bit, we've got to... You know, we've taken a lot of their advice, and it's like, okay, we don't have to really think this out.
We don't like thinking about things on our own.
Just bring us ideas, and we will talk about
it. Yeah, just kind of bring it to us.
We don't have to even think what our show topics
are. And you guys email us about any topics you want. I mean, we're definitely going to consider it. And the way it looks like right now, we'll probably actually do it without any consideration. So
none whatsoever.
Mm-mm, no.
Well, okay, the best and worst of the 80s. Well, clearly in the 80s, there would have been no podcast. We would have been doing this on ham radio or something.
Right.
Or a CB.
Yeah, or I guess just, you know, we've been on an AM station.
Well, we just talked to each other in public.
We could have been on public access.
Yeah, we could have been on public access.
Public ass.
Or we could have been like on PBS or something, you know.
Right.
Or like one of those channels way down the dial, like, you know, channel 46.
On UHF?
Yeah. Yes, exactly, like UHF. Podbonnet would have been easily on UHF.
We would have got Weird Al as our first guest.
Well, and see, and he was a great thing out of the 80s.
Yeah.
He was.
I mean, it's funny because you think about Weird Al.
Excellent accordion skills.
Another One Rides the Bus. Yeah. I mean, that's what started it right there.
Was that the first single, Another One Rides the Bus?
Yeah, he was on the Tom Snyder
Show. It wasn't Eat It? Or
No. His very first appearance was on the Tom Snyder Show.
Okay.
It was just him and John Bermuda Schwartz, his drummer that he still has today.
Do you think Weird Al and They Might Be Giants hate each other?
I think that
because they both
Al
have like
everybody.
Accordions in their music.
I don't know. I think Weird Al loves everybody. I think other people may be Weird Al haters.
Yeah, there definitely are. Yeah. And we'll get to those.
And you know what's sad is they're just mad because they were late.
Well, I mean, a lot of people hate him because there's some. I think I remember hearing some controversies about some of the songs that he's parodied. And the original artist.
I don't see how anybody could hate that guy.
Well, they acted like they didn't have his consent, but he didn't
Gaga
have their consent.
Lady Gaga was one of those people.
Coolio was.
Yes, Coolio. Red Hot Chili Peppers was until they kind of got pissy about him doing Give It Away, but it was Yabba Dabba Doo now. And when they.
How do you hate that song?
Exactly. And then once it kind of. They gave. You know, their
Fred and Wilma.
Their publishing company, I guess, gave permission to go ahead and let it happen.
Yeah.
And Anthony Kiedis and Flea kind of, you know, shit-hammered it a little bit in an awards ceremony.
I guess that's how that happens, right? Because the publishing company actually has the rights to the music.
Right.
And so they're like, yeah, you do it. So money? Okay.
To me, I feel like you have totally made it when he's parodying your song. I think
Yeah.
You know, once Weird Al has done your song, it's like, look, if Michael Jackson was okay with it, everybody should just be okay with it because he was extremely sensitive about everything.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
So, you know, Weird Al, definitely one of my top 80 faves. And the other one is Back to the Future. Great Scott, Marty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Man, that's one of those VHS tapes. Yes. VHS tapes are one of the things of the 80s.
Absolutely.
One of those things that I wore So. The thing I remember about Back to the Future is, so back in the day when nobody could afford VCRs because they're too damn expensive,
right?
My mom worked for a CPA,
a certified public
asshole, right? No, and he had a VCR and an HBO subscription, and we had just gotten our VCR,
right?
And it was like a big deal. Oh, we got a VCR!
Oh, yes,
yay.
I remember those days. Yeah. That was a big thing.
Two-head VCR. That was before the four-head ones.
Was it a top loader or a front loader?
It was a front loader.
Oh, I had a top loader. My first VCR.
Yeah.
The old Panasonic.
We couldn't afford them then.
You know.
But, so anyway, she would just like record movies for me off of HBO and then bring them home because I was home during the summer.
Right.
And Back to the Future was one of them. And it had like Back to the Future and The Last Unicorn, I think.
Oh, I love The Last Unicorn.
And just, you know. And I want to say remember Walk Like a Man? That
yes.
On there? Like all these movies from the 80s.
She had a Howie Mandel
recorded on a tape for me.
Well, it was a great
Howie Mandel,
Remember how awesome that was? You know, because when I was a kid in the 70s, taping anything like music on just a little cassette recorder was cool. And now in the 80s, you had a tape that was movies.
Yeah.
And porno.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was the other thing, too. I'll never forget the first. Like,
and the VHS was king, and so was HBO, and she had HBO at her fingertips, and it was wonderful.
And to me, Back to the Future, I'll never forget. I saw that in the theater the first time, and I was dating a girl, and she had seen it already. And the only reason she wanted me to see it so bad was because Marty goes back on the date of my birthday, November 5th, 1955. She's like, so let's go see it. He goes back to the 50s. And I was like, well, I like Family Ties, another 80s show that I liked a lot. And
so you're already a big Michael J. fan.
Yeah, you know, so I...
Crushing on him big time, weren't you?
But I have to say that after I left the theater watching Back to the Future, that movie really impacted me. I just thought it was so, you know, very thought out very well.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
Did you go home and try to build the flux capacitor?
No, but, I still
and,
think
and, like,
about,
mount it to your Ford Escort?
I still think about, it was a Chevette, actually. Oh. Close.
Yeah.
I still think about, you know, it's 2015 now, and then, of course, Back to the Future 2 is when Marty goes.
Right. Because, yeah, this is actually the year of Back to the Future 2.
Right. And some things they got right.
Well, they're, you know, it's funny because all the hype, they're trying to actually make things from
right.
the movie.
Yes.
Like they were trying to make the, I think, didn't Nike make the shoes?
The mags are available, but they're really expensive.
And what is it with the weird Pepsi bottles?
Oh, I heard Pepsi Perfect? That's going to happen.
They're making those.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I actually have. I bought at this place for a
dollar. What's the big deal, though? Just the bottles?
I guess. Just because.
I mean, yeah.
But I bought the hat.
Right.
The like weird hat that Marty wears. Me and my girlfriend was out shopping one day, and I saw it. And I paid a dollar for it. And it just sits at the end of my bed with some of my other hats. But the only reason I bought it was because it's like Marty's hat. Mm. She goes, why do you want to buy that stupid thing? And I was like, because these are going to be big this year.
Yeah.
I know it. But, you know, I just thought that movie
are
was,
they?
No, they're not. Nah, but I have that. One for 2015. So.
You don't have to walk around with that life vest either.
No, but I would like the drying vest.
Yeah.
Drying mode, you know. And I still, we don't have flying cars.
No,
but, that's
but we kind of have
the 80s.
We though. Kind of have the hoverboards, though.
Yes, that's true.
They don't work exactly like they do in Back to the Future, but
what do you think the most like? I mean, like in the 80s, what do you think the like the really what was high tech in the 80s as far as
well
like,
VCRs, obviously.
Yeah, and like MTV, I remember
Nintendo,
and well, cable TV was like the big thing.
Everything was chrome too. Like every kind of audio equipment or anything was all like kind of chrome colored.
And Dayglow.
Yeah.
Everything was but I think the 80s also, you know, had some of the best movies in that decade. It was
yeah.
some of the best
some great movies.
Yeah,
like
I mean
Indiana Jones.
Absolutely. And
the best movie ever, The Empire Strikes Back,
absolutely.
Started
definitely
kicked off
Star
the
Wars.
80s.
That's right. Right.
And not Star Wars.
No,
the Empire
not the
Strikes
first
Back.
One.
Yes.
And Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It
was 84, but you had Ghostbusters, you had
yeah.
Like I say Indiana Jones.
So, and Lisa and I, we were preparing for this.
Is that your wife?
Yeah, we were watching. She was watching the movie with me.
Okay.
We were watching a movie together, and she was kind of. I was like, "Hey, I got to do this '80s show," and she was like, "Okay, well, let's watch some '80s movies and you know, kind of get you into the feel of it." And I was like, "Okay, so what do you think?" And she's like, "How about some John Hughes movies?" And I'm like, "Sure." So we kind of just like look through the independent movie database,
right?
IMDb, if you will. And we
have time to say independent movie database.
Yeah, I like to say that because I'm a douchebag. But
and he admits it.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, we're just looking through them. And, you know, the National Lampoon movies, of course, seen those 100 times. And she's like, what about all those
rom-coms?
What's her name? Why can't I think of her name?
I don't know. Keith Morrison.
Yeah, or Keith Morrison, of course.
That's her name.
Of course, no.
We'll get an email about it later.
She's in like
Molly
Ringwald.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tina. Yeah, so Molly Ringwald movies. So you're like, I haven't really seen a lot of them.
Oh, I have. God.
I didn't have a sister growing up in the 80s, so I didn't
watch it. I love
Pretty
in Pink. I watched that the other day. I love that movie, but I hate that she always picks
Blaine
over Dustin. Damn it.
But so we decided to watch 16 Candles.
Okay, I love that movie.
So, you know, it's the first time I've never seen it before.
Dong.
Yeah.
Right. Dong.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Great movie. Thank you, Tina.
It's the first time I've seen that.
Tina, did you watch the movie recently?
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you have.
Or maybe she just likes Long Duck Dong.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to say.
Yeah.
Long Duck Dong. So, yeah, I mean, it's the first time I saw it.
That's the first time you saw it?
Yeah, I never seen it before. Because I was like, I'm not going to watch that gay shit from the
80s. Great. I love it.
Gay romantic comedies from the 80s? Come on.
John Hughes could write a great
movie. It was like wacky. I didn't expect it to be kind of like, he's kind of wacky, crazy antics all the way through it.
It was like John Hughes really had the pulse on, like, you know, he understood his teenage years.
As I was watching it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of, you know, these kind of movies inspired American Pie and all those movies.
Absolutely. So. Well, I loved The Breakfast Club because, to me, The Breakfast Club came along at a really good time in my life. I left.
You're in detention a lot?
Well, I left high school, this one high school that I hated. I just had problems there.
Yeah.
And I went to like an alternative high school. And at this alternative high school, you drove there. You went to McDonald's or Del Taco for lunch. There was like 75 people there. It was cool. It was awesome. And
did you have velvet pictures of Emilio Estevez on your wall?
No, but the thing was, everybody at that school were like different. There was like punk people there and hippies and metalheads.
Why is it called an alternative school? What's it an alternative to?
Just the regular.
But is it a publicly funded school?
It was a regular publicly funded school. The thing was, is you could graduate quicker there. You could do, instead of doing semesters, you would do like. It was 100 minutes per class, so it was like a two-hour class almost, and you did four a day, and you had a 10-minute or a five-minute break in between classes. You could, it was open campus; you could just come and go as you want. They treated you more like an adult. You had five cuts.
So describe the student body at this school:
punks, hippies, just metalheads, rappers. It was just.
I think my suspicions are correct. Basically, the rejects of regular school. The kids that couldn't cut
it. Here's the thing. That's the kind of rap that it got. But like, I'm still friends with a lot of people that went to that school
with a W.
That turned out to be really, interesting people. This one guy I went to school with. He was a big deadhead, right?
Yeah.
He's now a neurosurgeon. This other guy I know. He was. I'm still friends with today. Owns an art gallery. Very artistic guy. He kind of followed his path with that. So everybody that I met there all went on to do. Well, I mean, not everybody. There was some suicides and
of course,
there was some bad things too. But
there's some janitors, I'm sure, that came out of it.
The Breakfast Club really kind of, it was the same thing to me.
The rejects.
But they all had purpose, and they all went on to do, good and or bad things. But they were. Everybody accepted everybody for whom they were at the end of the day, which at the other school.
I didn't accept any of them.
At the other school, they did not do that. So that's why I really love the Breakfast Club. I have a very close feeling towards the Breakfast Club. I feel like that came at a right time in my life in the 80s.
What about the Karate Kid?
I just watched the thing about that. It said Daniel-san was really the instigator of the whole thing.
What do you mean he's the instigator of the whole thing?
You go back and watch it. It's like, the blonde hair kid.
Yeah.
He never throws the first punch. It's always Daniel.
What a prick, man.
And it's like, and the move that he fucking takes the kid down at the end is
the crane thing?
It's illegal. You kick him in the fucking neck. You should be disqualified, man. Or you broke his nose. It's like, so... But that's a great movie. It was the 80s Rocky.
I heard that in real life, Ralph Macchio said the whole wax on and wax off thing improved his masturbation skills.
I don't know. What's he doing these days, Ralph Macchio? He was like...
Getting ready for to film The Outsiders 2.
He's going to be the new...
Because you know how they like to make sequels to movies that came out 20 years ago?
He's going to be the new Miyagi.
No, he's actually going to be gold because he did stay gold.
He's going to be Mr.
He stayed gold for so long that he turned into a solid gold statue.
Mr. Macchio. He's going to be Mr. Macchio and like teach a new kid karate.
Mr. Macchio?
Instead of like, Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be like wax on.
No, they tried that with Jackie Chan.
That was a good movie, too.
Yeah, it was mediocre. It was better than the Hilary Swank one.
Here's the thing about
that. But we're getting out of the
80s. He never taught him karate, though. He never taught him karate. He taught him kung fu. So
that's totally... Why do they call it the Kung Fu Kid?
I agree. And Footloose, another great movie in the 80s.
See, pass.
I like dancing movies.
See, the funny thing about...
Because I'm a dude. You're not supposed to like those movies.
It's not true. I love dancing movies.
Why don't you fit the stereotype?
I like, I like the Blues Brothers. It's, there's dancing in it.
There is.
That was another great 80s
movie.
There is,
but it's a comedy. It's funny.
Dancing is not bad. I mean, I don't dance, but I don't hate them. I like certain musicals.
You can't tell me the main focus of the Blues Brothers is dancing, though.
But there's a lot of it in there.
That is the focus of Footloose. It's the focus
of it. The focus of Footloose was the lack thereof. They wanted to dance.
Okay, the fact that they couldn't dance in this like
all it was
like conservative uptight religious community.
But see,
that's so lame.
No, but what it was a statement of the 80s. It was saying, Reagan and rules, and we're the youth. We want to party. That's kind of what that was about.
I get it, but. It's lame.
I love that movie. Good soundtrack.
Couldn't they party and not in a lame style?
Here was the fun thing. The funny thing I thought about Footloose, though, they wanted so badly to dance in that movie, and then they finally get their chance and they have their prom,
and it sucks.
No, like, everybody sucks. Is like these.
Why
awesome,
do we want to do this so badly?
No, they're all awesome dancers. It's like, wait a minute,
like all of a sudden,
yeah, right,
with no practice.
Yes, it's like So when they remade that movie and they shot it here, right close to where we recorded.
Yeah, I've swear this has come up on a show.
Yeah, but the point was you know, in that one, I was like, well, how in the world do they not dance with YouTube? And why are these kids twerking? That should be like the new Footloose.
Were they in the remake? Twerking.
What's that?
What kind of dances were in the remake?
Not twerking. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about different things like Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yeah, that's a great flick.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really care for that one that much. I thought it was boring. I hate
E.T. What about
E.T.
Huey Lewis in the News?
How about
I can't stand E.T.
Hair metal.
Finding all the stuff I don't like.
A romantic comedy like Princess Bride.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the 80s. Rick is going to be more into the 80s than I am. And justifiably so. He is the 80s guy.
Yeah, I grew up in the 80s. I mean, I went to school in Fast Times. Like, that was my high school era, movie.
But the thing is, to me, there's a lot of the 80s is just a big pile of garbage. And there's a lot of the 80s that I really like.
But what year were you born?
81.
Okay, so you don't really... I mean, like, your remembering of the 80s would be like mine sort of the 70s. I was born I mean, I remember the late 70s were stood way out for me because I was 10 years old. But, you know, obviously the 80s was my teenage years. For instance, when the TV show Freaks and Geeks come out.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's not an 80s show, but it was about the era of like 1980 to 82. And that was the time that I went from middle school to high school. And that whole show to me was, I was like, what an odd time to pick out of the 80s and like the music to me, because that was a weird time of the 80s. Your transition from the 70s into the 80s, you know, disco was going away,
right?
Punk was kind of leaving, but it was still, you know, you had all this new wave shit coming in. So
I don't know, punk was still pretty strong in the 80s.
Yes, it was, but MTV kind of perverted punk, you know, which is another great thing.
Right,
the 80s,
because punk music is about anti-establishmentism, and if they can't be, if they're going to be in the limelight and be,
but,
you know, sell
the
records.
The funny thing was MTV was anti-establishment in the very first part of the 80s, because it was like, we're the future, this is the new thing, but, you know, it turned into be the norm, the mainstream.
Yeah, that always happens. The thing you always become the thing you hate.
You know, MTV at first was awesome. You know, back in the... Yeah. I can remember... You know, I did not see the original MTV, Buggles video when they first started, but I do remember the first video I saw on MTV, and I do remember from that point on just watching MTV like a zombie, you know, just because you wanted to see this other... You know, this other band. And that's the thing about MTV that was really cool at first, is they didn't have a lot of permission to use, like, Warner Brothers or Elektra Artist or whomever.
Yeah.
And so they pulled a lot of videos from the UK. So that's how we kind of got turned on to bands like Eddie Grant, like Electric Avenue, or Madness, or Adam Ant. So whereas they wasn't getting played on mainstream radio at the time, but MTV sort of, the Police actually... you know, was big on radio, but video helped them even more. So, like, by the time Synchronicity come out, they had both grown together in video medium and, you know, radio medium, and it was huge, you know. And it was kind of one of those things like, and I hate to talk about this.
It goes on forever, doesn't he?
Yeah, I like to talk.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay, my thing is the 80s music, though, particularly, I like some of it, and there's a lot of 80s music I like. I feel like hair metal perverted metal. I mean, metal was great in the 70s, and it still
and
was great 80s, in
the
80s.
And the early 80s.
But
agree.
Then...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
All those bands like Def Leppard and Motley Crue.
It wasn't those bands. You know, it was...
To me, it is those bands.
But see, Motley Crue was like early in the 80s. To me,
here's
what perverted 80s metal.
Metal started out as this dark, brooding, you know, people are like... You know, people are like, oh, there's...
Maiden,
know, it's
priest.
Evil. There's, yes.
Right.
There's evil. There's something... satanic about it. Black Sabbath, all those bands.
Sure.
You know, and then that was cool, though. I mean, that, they weren't really satanic, obviously, but they liked having...
That dark imagery.
It did something for metal, you know? It was what it was about.
See,
And it turned into partying. Now it's about partying.
Yes, I don't disagree. I just had this conversation the other day with somebody.
That's capitalistic America. It's perverting something wonderful.
Well, but and there was so many even heavy metal bands, rock and roll bands that felt that was guilty of that. Ozzy, Judas Priest, Kiss, right. You know, all fell to that. You know,
yeah, they all did because they wanted to make money.
It was selling records and making videos, and people, you know, and that to me is where
you can't always be breaking the law.
In the 80s, and I have to say, around 86, 87, when metal started going that way, where I was embarrassed with Kiss, you know, really, and Ozzy, you know, where the moose and the hair and the glittery robes, it's like, that's not metal, that's not you, you know. I just felt like that was just really bad. I started kind of reverting back to the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, Ozzy going into the glam.
Oh, yeah. Blizzard of Oz. Right. I mean, Ultimate Sin, that's what it was. I mean, it was, to me, great record, good songwriting, but the imagery was just terrible. You know, right. Priest Turbo was awful.
But people say glam is more 70s, though, and hair metal is 80s.
Well,
but one definitely fed into the other.
Exactly. I think that, you know, that's like saying, you know, Alice Cooper spawned Kiss, and Kiss spawned Motley Crue, and Motley Crue spawned, it just goes on and on and on and on and on, you know. But I think that the New York Dolls spawned, you know, David Bowie, and David Bowie kind of influenced Motley Crue, but at the same time, so did Queen, so did Kiss, and that's what kind of started that. And then you had Wasp, and then it just kind of winds up diluting itself.
I just don't like that they call any of those bands metal, because they're not. They're party rock. Mm-hmm. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know? To me, it just started getting...
Your favorite band, Kiss, they don't call themselves metal. Nobody really thinks
of
Kiss as
metal.
No, they
never did rock and roll.
But it's like party rock and roll.
Sure, and that's the thing that, you know, Kiss always gets pegged is when they get a hard rock or heavy metal, I'm like, not really. Because they're kind of all things. I mean, they have Dynasty, which was kind of a disco record, and Unmasked era. And then they had a grunge record, and they had, you know, it's like, I just feel like they sort of follow the trends, like a lot of music bands do. But I agree. I don't disagree with that at all. I think you're right. I think that glam metal really kind of diluted metal really bad in the 80s, where you did have Warrants and Slaughters and Tricksters and Firehouse, and it was like, this doesn't speak for me. And even those bands, I always felt like when you would see them live, it was like, I don't know anybody that dresses like that. And that was another thing in the 80s that I didn't like, was the fashion.
Oh, my God, the 80s fashion.
It was awful.
Even at the time, did you think that?
Yes. Yes. You know, Bobcat Goldthwait did a stand-up thing about the 80s, in the 80s, and he goes, you know, people are going to look back and go, I thought the 70s were bad. This decade here is awful. You know, he talked about... You know, that the big hair and all the fashion.
The feathered bangs.
The mullets. Yeah. The mullets was so big. Like, even like, I can remember like when Lars and Metallica, when they first come out, he still made the mullet look kind of cool, you know. Mm. But Joe Elliott made the mullet look.
But they still were metal, you know. They still were edgy.
And I was guilty of having a mullet. I cannot sit here and go, oh, the mullet. Man, of course I did.
Of course you did. Know?
Of course I did.
Sheep.
Well, to me... this is terrible. Listen to this, though. In the 80s, I was guilty. I'm glad there's no, you know, pictures of this.
Maybe there is.
No, there is not. But I even went as far as getting my hair cut to look like...
you wore a half shirt,
I did. Kiefer Sutherland in The Lost Boys. I wanted it really spiky up top.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love The Lost Boys.
And long in the back.
And you oiled yourself down to look like the saxophone player?
Oh, my God, the saxophone player.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, I did, man. I'm glad there is no photos of
that. But, see, my fondness for the 80s goes back to more in my, like my childhood. Like, a lot of the toys and the cartoons and things that I watched in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid. I was born in the 80s. Yeah, so...
Like G.I. Joe?
You know, I never was big into G.I. Joe, but I liked the toys. I didn't care for the cartoon. Yeah, I used to love Transformers.
He-Man?
Had quite a collection of Transformers and He-Man action figures. I didn't get into the anime stuff, but we did have some Voltron toys that were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
My buddy, I remember his, you know, he had an older brother and a younger brother, and it was always funny because you'd go to their house and they would have, like, Godzilla toys and Voltron toys and Star Wars toys and all this stuff, you know.
Definitely. And you're like, what are these toys for? I'm trying to get laid. But, like, I mean, one of the things I was really into was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember when that came
towards
out.
The later 80s, but, yeah, I was really big into those, and I still have a, you know, at some point my dad decided to, you know, toss and chuck away all our toys.
Because it's not going to be worth anything, no. It's garbage.
My brother got real upset about that. He got mad because some of the shit we had. Like, we had the Castle Grayskull from He-Man.
Yeah, we had, like, the Death Star toy, you know, they had, like, the...
Yeah.
Garbage pit with all the little styrofoam pieces in it that you would turn, and, you know, the door would open right up, and Luke and Han and everybody would jump out, and, you know, and you could swing, and I don't know what happened to that.
But you feel like the way you feel about the 70s is more like the same? You think about your childhood?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
More like the TV shows and the cartoons you watch? Well, the thing because you like music from the 70s, but...
The thing about the 80s that, to me, that I still have, like, a really special thing is, you know, I started the 80s as a preteen... And ended the 80s as an adult.
Old man geezer.
You know, I mean, like an 80...
Well, he had like a Benjamin Button 10-year lifespan.
I tell you this.
Where he like went to age 100 like within 10 years somehow.
I'm surprised I made it through the 80s. You know, I mean, that was definitely... you know, and that's the thing, too. People
with all that speedballing you did.
If you could go back...
You'd do less speedballing?
No. I'd do more.
Yeah.
I would kill Tom Cruise. No.
I will not apologize for who I am.
Oh, man.
So we wouldn't have to have the weird Tom Cruise of today. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
see,
but
he was
you know,
a big thing in the 80s. Risky definitely. Business, Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
But that's when Tom Cruise was cool.
He's come back, though.
Oblivion?
I mean, he's done all these movies again, but for a while, you know, I guess it's like he was not in any movies or.
Yeah, but he's just so creepy and weird.
Yeah, you're just never going to think about... You can't think of him in the same light anymore.
No. I mean...
He's never going to be Maverick from Top Gun.
But what was your favorite 80s Tom Cruise character, role?
My favorite... I don't know. I really liked... I always thought it would be cool to be, you know, the bartender in Cocktail.
Oh.
I don't know why.
I was going to say Risky Business because... To me, the music was good in that. They had Tangerine Dream playing the soundtrack.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and, you know, it had a good cast.
I just know that one Bob Seger song is in it.
Which one?
Really?
Old Time Rock and Roll. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
The main thing that people remember about that movie.
I was just not thinking of Tom Cruise in his underwear.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Yeah, no.
You liked that. His tighty-whities.
But see, yeah, that was a, you know, and he was like, you know, trying to get a prostitute. And,
yeah.
You know, that was, you know, and Porky's, that was another big 80s flick. Mm. That was all kind of TNA. And cable porn.
Cable porn.
Yeah.
Like softcore? Like the after hours HBO stuff?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the first time I ever saw Clockwork Orange.
Oh, really?
It was on cable.
Yeah, because all the nudity in it.
Well, it was one of those movies like on like Showtime or Cinemax back in the day, and they would show these little teasers.
Yeah.
It's like, tonight at 11, Clockwork Orange. And I was like, what the fuck?
Did you, like, walk around with a cane and start clubbing all your friends in the nuts after that?
No, but I've always said this about Clockwork Orange. When I watched that, especially I was, you know, obviously going through puberty as a kid, was there was times where I was, like, really turned on and freaked out by that movie all at the same time.
I know, right?
And as a kid going through
puberty, shared that experience.
Yeah, you don't really want to say anything to anybody. It's like, there's just one scene in this movie where I got, like, a boner.
Because I watched it. Oh, like,
do I like rape? You know, it's like, what's wrong with me?
Growing up, my brother had this friend who would, and they would watch a bunch of weird, like, obscure movies. A lot of it was sci-fi. But anyways, there's always, like, random VHS cassettes laying around. And so I was like, Clockwork Orange, what's that about? So I shoved it in, and I'm like, you know, the first part of it's like a lot of sex and the orgies or the rape scenes and all that stuff. And it's like, well, there's nudity in it, so it kind of turns me on, but it's violent.
And then you're kind of, but you're sort of confused by like the language. Yeah. It's like, well, my brothers, and you're like, okay, well, maybe I'm just trying to watch this movie to understand what the fuck they're saying.
Or like, I like that first sex scene where he brings the girl to his flat. And it's like they're trying to show a long period of time, but and they're
it's
like
two girls. It's the
that's right, it's two girls.
It's two girls, and he's at the record store.
And the way the camera goes, I like the way they did the you know the scene.
It's all sped up,
and
but it makes you. I mean, I've wondered, you know, is he really fucking these two chicks? And they just sped this up really quick, and
because
like,
it was tubes, yeah, because of the MPAA was like,
I'm going to a.
They're like, we can't give you an R rating with this. You're gonna have to fast forward it.
I'm going
to
meet him in February, Malcolm McDowell.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to be at Mad Monster in Charlotte, and you know, we're already going. We went last year. And
okay.
I want to talk to him about Clockwork Orange. You know, I want to. To me, that is going to be awesome, and you know, the fact that he was Dr. Loomis in the Rob Zombie's Halloween was cool, but.
fact, I didn't know he was.
Oh yeah, and the yeah. So to me,
you can be like, you were the bomb in Caligula, yo.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that in the theater as well. Did you? Midnight movie, yeah, yeah, well, man. God, so it. I love Malcolm McDowell. He was also Mr. Rourke on the.
You
reboot.
Saw Caligula in the theater?
Yeah,
didn't it come midnight out in the '70s?
No, yeah, but I saw it in the midnight movies in the.
Oh,
80s.
Okay, so they brought it back, kind of thing.
Yeah, that was the thing in the '80s. Midnight movies was a thing. You'd get, okay. You know, Rocky Horror is like a
yeah,
staple,
right?
But I wouldn't see. The Song Remains the Same, Yellow Submarine, okay. The Wall so many times.
Yeah.
You know,
on so Caligula, much acid.
They would always they would always bring something like, you know, you haven't seen in a while to mm-hmm. the midnight movie. Heavy Metal, that was another one. That was another, you know, great animated movie right. in the '80s too, you know.
Yeah, I love Heavy Metal.
How are we doing on time, Tina?
We're doing good. I just want to mention some things. How about wood paneled station wagons during the '80s?
Oh, yeah, everybody had those. Every family
we
of,
had
like...
A, yeah, we had the Crown.
Two or three had them.
No, it was the... It was a LTV, you know. It looked like the... It was blue with the paneling.
Did you feel like you were a Chevy Chase when you drove it?
No,
I guess you didn't drive it,
I didn't
though.
Drive it. I sat in the back seat.
Yeah.
You know, watched my mom drive this boat of a car around.
And then Christy Brinkley would drive by and...
Yeah.
Was that
another
Ferrari?
Plow into her.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, that only happens in the new one.
Yeah. Yeah. But the 80s,
and you're that singing
that
song,
another,
Holiday
that was,
Road.
Yeah. That was Chevy Chase, Fletch. That was another great
yeah.
80s flick.
Yep.
National Lampoon.
One of my favorite TV shows from the 80s, America. God, I'm just
American
tongue-tied.
Greatest Hero.
Greatest American Hero.
What you talking about, Willis?
No, that's a different show, but...
Yes, I love The Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, I mean,
can remember when that premiered, too.
I remember just when... But I was a kid, I would take it, you know, I'd take it a little more seriously, and I'd get, like, real kind of more upset when he would fly and run into things. I'm like come on, don't do that.
I like the fact that he would do that, though.
Right.
Like, it was all like, whoa, I'm not prepared to be a superhero.
Yeah,
thought,
right.
That's how I would be,
yeah.
You know? I wouldn't know how to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
be
because,
aloof.
Like... You know, Harry, yeah, you're a superhero all of a sudden, and then you're really good at it. I mean,
it's like,
come on.
I can be bulletproof, and I can be fast, but at the same time, I haven't managed flying.
It's like
I
all
can
those,
fly.
It's like those people from Footloose being able to dance all
right,
of a sudden.
Right.
Like, no.
It's like Tony Stark just didn't wake up one day and be like, boom.
And that symbol on his suit, how cool was that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was some kind of weird alien thing, I think. I can't remember, but it's pretty neat. And Knight Rider, that was a big...
I never liked Knight Rider, even when
oh,
it was
man.
New.
You didn't you just love that car, though? I mean...
Well, here was my problem with the car. Now, I knew it was like a Trans Am and all this stuff.
Trans Am was the shit in the 80s.
Yeah, but it was really cooler in the 70s when it was the Bandits. And to me, it was just like, okay, it's just like you're putting a whole bunch of stuff in this car and it just talks and it can kind of do anything. This may as well just have been a cartoon. It was like the A-Team. I always felt like the A-Team.
That's why it was cool, because it wasn't a cartoon. They actually filmed all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but it was like the A-Team. Like,
and
my
like
brother,
the,
he
I don't know,
really
the,
into it.
I like the A-Team, too.
Yeah, but see...
I just I don't know. I really like watching... I liked how the truck would come and pick up the car, and it'd like, you know, go down the road. And the... No, and Knight Rider.
Yeah.
And Kit would just like ride right up in the truck.
But see, that was another great thing
that
about
cool.
the '80s. We still had awesome cars. You know,
yeah.
The DeLorean, the General Lee, you know, Michael Knight's car.
Right.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, there were a lot of TV shows that featured cars.
And really cool ones, you know.
But where is that now? I mean, Fast and the Furious? I mean.
Yeah, I don't even understand that.
I don't either.
I got a friend of mine. He's like all into like Lord of the Rings, and he's really nerdy.
Yeah.
Him and his wife love the whole Fast and Furious series. And I'm like, it just seems like an odd thing.
How can you like both things?
It just doesn't seem like something that they would be into. It just seems
you know, it
so
almost
different.
Like, it irritates me for, I don't know why, and it shouldn't, but. Like when people are really, really, really into sports, but they're
yes.
also really, really into like something like Star Wars or something medieval or something nerdy.
Right.
It's like you can't have both. Choose one or the other.
Yeah.
You're
I don't
either a
talk
jock.
To you about sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to.
And Star Wars.
Right. I'm not going to talk about the foosballs.
Because then you're going to start strategizing Star
yeah.
Wars like a sports game.
Right. And it's like pick one or the other. You can't be a jock and a nerd.
Right.
Choose your destiny, sir.
A jerd. And I don't like you, jerds. How are we doing?
Or
the
a
time,
knock.
Tina?
We're good.
What's good mean?
Eight Quit asking minutes. About the time.
I gotta pee.
Hold it.
I know I
you
am.
You little bitch.
I know.
So why don't we, he could go to the bathroom. Why don't
pee
we
in this wine bottle.
Why don't we talk about worst of the 80s, like songs like Kokomo.
That was a terrible song. That was a song my mom liked.
Even Brian Wilson didn't like it.
Well,
but that was the Beach Boys without Brian Wilson.
Didn't you say he wasn't on it?
Yeah.
He wasn't on that song.
No, he wasn't. And so he was like, that's a terrible piece of shit of a song. It's not even a real place. There is no Kokomo. It doesn't exist.
What about Milli Vanilli? I mean, that was such a big scam.
See, I found out about Milli Vanilli after the whole thing came out. I didn't follow their careers. And then when it came out that they were lip-syncing, and I was like, I remember somebody in school said, oh, it's terrible. They found out that Milli Vanilli, they don't really sing any of their songs. And it's just all pre-recorded tapes, and they're lip-syncing. And I'm like, who? Oh, that's terrible. And then it was just I found out about it because it was all over the news and people were talking about it like it was a big deal. And I'm like, I just want to play with my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures.
Yeah,
go
there
away.
There you go. One song I really hated in the 80s was Danger Zone.
You didn't like Top Gun? Is that 80s or 70s?
No, it's Top Gun.
That was the 80s.
That's Kenny Loggins.
Danger Zone.
Yeah, I know, but it came out before Top Gun.
No, that was written for that.
It was?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't like that
Welcome to the danger zone.
Yeah, that was definitely
danger zone. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. There was just certain things in the, it's like, I just felt like at music, remember when videos would do the thing where it was like, a video is not enough. We have to have some acting in it. Or in it, tell a story. Like Lionel Richie and Hello. Or, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
I hated that shit. It's like, I just want to hear the fucking... No, I didn't really want to hear that song, but it's like other videos started just taking those liberties. It's like Michael Jackson did with Thriller.
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay, but every time we want to hear that song, if we want to watch the video...
But I get why they did that.
Well, I mean, that was the media.
Because they're like, well, we got to make it special for, you know, because you can just listen to these songs on the radio. We got to make people want to watch the videos.
What was one of your favorite bands?
Because, you know, when they first started putting out videos, it was like untested ground. They were really unsure about it.
Well,
it's like, even though the Big Bopper made the first video ever with Chantilly Lace.
Chantilly Lace.
He made it himself.
Ponytail hanging down.
Right, exactly. Dying in a plane with Richie Valens.
Good Lord, and there's the big... who was it? The Big Bopper,
Richie Valens, and Buddy Holly.
Waylon Jennings.
No.
He got lucky
and... He wasn't in that plane. No.
Waylon Jennings, he was the balladeer of the Dukes of Hazzard.
And the Duke boys are up at their old antics again.
And that was back when putting a Confederate flag on a car, nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah, they do now, though.
Yeah, I know.
And it's they have the General Lee in the commercials without the Confederate flag on it.
I noticed that.
With Bo and Duke in it.
Yeah, Bo and Luke.
Whatever. Bo and fuck. Yeah.
Fucking hoe.
Yeah, well, and they're in the Auto Trader.
But, you know.
I like the Dukes of Hazzard, so I sound like I'm not a fan because I don't know their names correctly, but I did like it.
I don't know if this show will air, but we're going to do a con here at the Perry Con.
Why won't it air?
Before the con, I'm just saying. I don't know if this, maybe.
Oh, of course it will.
Okay, well.
Maybe it won't. I don't know.
We're doing Perry Con, and Daisy Duke, Catherine Bach's going to be there. So we can get a pod vinyl picture with her.
You think she'll wear Daisy Dukes?
No, I hope not.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, we don't want to see that today.
No.
We just want to remember what it looked like.
Maybe like herself from the 70s will come
she's like,
forward in time.
She's like, you want to stick your finger in it and smell it for a dollar? Daisy Duke fresh.
Will you pay me a dollar not to do that?
No, that's just what it's turned into. She's like, I'm on meth.
She's like, look, I've got some of the same cobwebs that Helen Mirren has.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where West Side is right now.
Yeah, he's like, he's all up in that. Yeah. He's clearing them out with his tongue. Gross. But so, the 1980s, wonderful decade. So, did you follow all the politics and all the Reaganisms that went on?
I didn't probably start paying attention to that.
Did you get all excited when the Berlin Wall went down? I mean...
Not really.
Were you like, yeah? Were your parents like all about it? And just,
no.
I wonder if like
I was really
my parents weren't either.
You know,
I remember my mom was like, Looks like the Berlin Wall went down, and was it West Berlin?
Yeah, East and West were now.
Which one was the communist side?
The East.
East Berlin is now free, and they can do what they want. Right. Yay!
Or maybe, yeah. I remember my mom.
You can go in there. You can go over there and get a brick.
My mom goes.
Put it in a frame.
It's not going to affect my life anyway. I got to still go to work tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's like I don't care. You know. It's not
right. She's like, I never had to wait in a bread line. I don't give a shit.
Well, I mean, she grew up poor, but it was still at the same time.
She didn't grow up communist, though.
No. She was just like, whatever. But no, I don't. I remember, like, you know, that was the other thing, too. Live Aid.
It's funny, though, because we were watching the show called Narcos on Netflix. Really good show, by the way. And it's about the life of Pablo Escobar.
Okay.
And it's it has a perspective of Escobar and the perspective of the DEA agents. And it's funny because the DEA agents are trying to work with the CIA, and the CIA are like, why are you wasting your time with drugs when communism is the real threat? We're focused on that. You need to help us with that.
Right.
Fucking DEA and your drugs.
Right.
Yeah, and it's fun, interesting because they were so worried about communism during the 80s.
Well, and that was the thing. In the 80s, I remember a friend of mine, he lived in Miami. And he moved up here to Atlanta, and he went to high school with me. And in the summer, he went to visit his dad. And then he needed a ride back, so me and a buddy of mine drove down to Miami in this, like, 1970 Chevy Nova, you know, with a V8 in it, all the way down to Miami, and just drinking and getting fucked up. And the minute we get down there, we go to his house, basically eat and kind of get cleaned up a little bit. You know, this was a long drive. And then we're in some hotel in Miami doing coke, literally within an hour and a half of being in Miami with a bunch of strangers. And then when I saw the movie Blow, Johnny Depp's character, George Jung, says, you know, if you did cocaine in the 80s, there's a 75% chance that I brought it into the country. And I think to myself, and I bet I did a lot of that cocaine in the 80s.
Right.
Because cocaine in the 80s was literally like weed. It was like, you want a bump? You want a line?
Yeah,
it was very prevalent.
So much of it was being trafficked in, and a lot of it they just kind of turned their heads at first.
I mean, to me, I never I did a lot of cocaine in the 80s, but I mean, I was not a cokehead. It wasn't a lifestyle thing, but coke in the 80s was very.
But they weren't policing it coming through much at first.
Yeah.
And then it started coming in more and more.
Not until crack. I can remember when they made like a thing on the TV about, crack cocaine is this new thing. And a buddy of mine was like,
it's because they were so,
should try this.
They were so worried about like communism and things like that. They were blinded to all the all the fucking drugs and all the violence that was coming in because of it.
In the early part of the 80s, that was the whole thing was, you know, the end of the world, 1984, George Orwell,
right,
and all this thing.
But then it was like, okay, Pablo Escobar is actually, he's kidnapping politicians, he's bombing civilians, maybe we should pay attention to this whole drug thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, good times. Good times. Well,
speaking of the end of the 80s, it's
the end of the 80s show, isn't it?
Yeah. Almost. But it's not being shut down by like a Chernobyl.
No.
Or the Iran, hostage thing, or Ronald Reagan, or,
right,
you know, or anything like that. It's just the end of the show. So.
Right. And maybe the next show will, here's a hint, maybe the next show will take us into Bosnia and President Clinton and some sex.
Seattle.
Playing princesses. Presidents.
We'll talk about Kevin Smith.
Maybe not.
You know.
Probably, though.
Yeah, in the 90s. You never know.
I might cut out all the parts where Kevin Smith's name is mentioned. No.
All right, well, hey, I love the 80s. That's my... You know, judgment on the end of the 80s here. I loved it. It was great.
The 80s is a mixed bag for me. Parts I really liked about it. Parts I could just totally forget. But, you know.
There's a lot I forgot.
And then there's one big important thing that happened in the 80s, and that was R.E.M.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot to mention. Rick hates R.E.M., but I like him because, you know what? Whatever you want to say, R.E.M. kind of started the whole indie music movement that's going on today. Eat a dick.
I guess we have to end the show on that. So,
you indie-loving music lovers.
Well, it's the end of the world
as we know it.
And I feel pretty good. So, fuck R.E.M. But that's just me.
See, that there's a part of the 80s that you don't like.
Yeah.
How about that? Rocky Four. Rocky Four was awesome.
I did like that. Rocky Five.
You know you like Rocky Four. Rocky Five was that's not the 90s.
Yeah. All right, that's it. I'm Nickelbag Rick.
And I'm Justin, the anti-host in the anti-80s. Just kidding.
And I'm pro-80s. And he's anti-80s, kind of anti.
I'm pro-AIDS, though.
We didn't talk about AIDS. Yeah. Right.
We didn't talk about AIDS or Ryan White.
AIDS happened.
Yeah. Some guy fucked a monkey and then spread it to people, and they say it was caused by the homosexuals, but everybody started getting AIDS, and Magic Johnson got it, and they went away. And
there's crack.
Yeah, so there's crack. And the government gave it to the NWA, and the NWA gave it to everyone else, and something like that, right? And then...
That's your pod vomit history lesson. So...
Later, bitches.
Yeah, see, don't get AIDS.
You've been listening to Pod Vomit on podvomit.com. Don't forget to put your yak in our sack. Make sure to send us email at our barf bag at podvomit@gmail.com. You can find us all over the place. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Also follow us on podomatic.com and check us out on SoundCloud. You can find Pod Vomit on the Tangent Bound Network. Go gawk at us at Instagram. We're also on the Stitcher Network, and please make sure to donate to our Patreon site. Pod Vomit is recorded at Fenario Studios.